What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater here, the club CEO. And I'm here with DJ Hal Nah, and we're here with the My DJ Series podcast. We're super excited to have you on the podcast, brother. Would you start off by introducing yourself to the audience?
Yo, what's up, man? I'm DJ Hal Nah, halnahproductions.com. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here, West Coast DJ, been DJing for about 25 years. It'll be 25 years this year, but DJing since 1996. So nice.
How old were you?
I started when I was 18. That's when I officially got my equipment. That's when I'll say I started, but I really started practicing at the homie house when I was like 17. And my homie Jamal had turntables when he was like, right after Juice came out, he had turntables at the school. You feel what I'm saying? So I was in eighth grade, he was in ninth grade, and he brought his techniques to the school. And we did like a little, you know, in the lunchtime, they have something called incentive program at my school, which was you could either do like your little talent or something, 30 minutes, everybody try to rap or something. I went to Bellflower High School, and the Bellflowers in Los Angeles, California, a little bit near Compton, in between like Norwalk and Long Beach and all that little area. So it's not really rough, but it is rough, but it's nice, you know what I mean? So at the same time, he you know, his parents is well off, so they got us some turntables. So we are shocked. I mean, he said he might have been a wizard. He come up to school with the turntables. So I'm like, oh, you got turntables? He's like, yeah, I'm about to DJ at lunch. I'm like, what? So then we go up to the turntable. He got his techniques. He got his Gemini mixer at the time from like Radio Shack. And I'm like, dude, you a full DJ. Like, this is the stuff that guy having Juice. Like, you like a DJ. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna show you. Let me cut it up real quick. So he started cutting, he started scratching, and like he did like a basic scratch, but in my mind, it sounded like it was like a time warp.
So you're telling me he pulled up at lunch at school.
Yes.
With the turntable.
With the turntables.
And speakers too? Like how did
they plugged them inside the drama room. So I guess he brought like a little side, like, I don't know. It was like at the time, since it was the 90s, had those big old speakers. So it must have been like a Serum Vega. He bought like one Serum Vega. So he knew his stuff. So his audio game was down. So he had a big Serum Vega. Like, it was rocking. So he had that one Serum Vega on the side, and he had that face in the audience. And he just started cutting up and scratching and stuff, and like just going back and forth for everything. I was like, dang. So afterwards, I was like, yo, you know, I just started going after and try to kindle that relationship. You know, the years start going on, and then got to like 11th grade. He finally was like, thought I was cool enough to come over his house. You know what I mean? Like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You cool enough. You know nothing but hip hop. You know about, you know, you, by that time, you had to pretty prove yourself all the time. Be like, yeah, I know this. I know Mobb Deep. I know this. I know this person. I know MC8. I know this. I know Rodney O'Jokuli. You know, they'd be like, okay, yeah. But you said, well, we don't like you. You know what I mean? But then later on, they're like, yeah, you know what? Come around. So I was like, all right, that's what's up. So then I went to his house, and his mom and them was like downstairs and everything. Went inside his room, and he had all these records laid against his bed. Some was inside the jacket, some weren't. And he had his turntables on top of his dresser, literally, like the old school dresser with the mirror and everything. And I'm like, man, oh man, you gonna let me scratch? He's like, yeah, dog, let's go scratch. He left his house and went to go get his girlfriend. And I was upstairs practicing back and forth on one record. Couldn't really get it down. He came back up, was like, man, you suck. Let me show you. So, all right, show me a little mix. He's like, you gonna mix this record and this record. So he mixed it once, then he made it go off, like he skipped the record so it can just like go all over the place. Then he left the room, was like, all right, when I come back, see if you can have that back dialed in as a mix. All right. So then I had it off, and then later on I got it on. So yeah, he was downstairs. He ended up leaving the house and doing his thing with his girl. And I was up there for about 3-4 hours. I came downstairs, and mom was making food, everything. I'm like, where's Jamal? I said, oh, he left. You cool. You know, you up there. You know, you starting to sound good. Because, you know, his son was good. So they knew that what sound good and what didn't sound good. She's like, you don't get there. You don't get there. So then, you know, I fast forward. As soon as I went to college, I got my turntables. Like, as soon as I got my first little financial loan or grant, you know, got my books. As soon as I figured out I had enough to buy turntables, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my turntables right now. Yeah, I got it.
Man, yeah, that's crazy. So 17, 18, you got introduced to DJing. Went to college, bought your first turntable. And you know, college DJs, that's always a fun time or just an interesting time. So tell me a little bit about your college experience and being a DJ in college.
Well, that was a crazy one because I actually got interrupted it, like I was DJing and doing little parties around Bellflower, Long Beach, Compton and stuff like that. I was playing mainly like Two Live Crew, 112s, Puffy, stuff like that, all the stuff that was current around 96 to 98. And then one of my friends, a close friend that I skated with, he had a girlfriend that he had broke up with and had got another boyfriend, but he was like a rocker, and he was in the band. His name was Damien, and he always liked my style because I still skated and stuff too, and we all still partied with each other. Like we still like kept in touch with his girlfriend, everything like that. So then he was into cars, I was into cars, and he came around with this lime green Mercury, like those from back in the days, and he was like, "Hey man, I'm in the band." And I'm going to Golden West College at this time, so I'm still trying to DJ, you know, doing my things. I'm in the band, and we're trying to get into, like, you know, we want to DJ in our band. I was like, all right, cool. So I joined that little band. It was called Labeled Insane, and I started doing little, like, DJ rock stuff like that. Then we broke up for a while, and then he came back again and was like, I'm in another band, but this guy is in this group called The Mexicans. His name is Iron Man. I said, oh, I know who Iron Man is. Cause he was on like the Wake Up Show, and he did like a drop with the Wake Up Show and like Sway and Tech. Then you know, they had like a little drop at the beginning. He did a little drop for like the radio, like Baker Boys and stuff. So I was like, oh, that fool! I saw him in hip hop concerts and stuff like that. So I was like, oh man, that's cool. So he's like, we'll come to your house and check out your equipment and stuff. I'm like, all right, cool. So they came to the house, and I was like, oh man, I got the dude for the Mexicans at my house. So he was like, we working on a new concept called Capital I, and we actually going to go on tour with Cypress Hill and Limp Bizkit. So then now I'm about to go on tour. So I'm 19, 20, and I'm like, oh, snap. Like, so I had to put college on pause, and I went on tour for, like, the next 4 or 5 years. Wow. With like, Cypress Hill, Redman, Method Man, like, anyone that was kind of big during the early millennium and all that stuff, I had went on tour with them, and I started doing, like, the West Coast tour and, like, Slightly Stupid, Sublime, and all like Dirty Heads, this kind of groups like that. So I started doing DJ work, studio work for that kind of stuff. And then in between, I went right back to school, got my multimedia certificate, finished that off in between. And then that was pretty much my college experience. I wow. pretty much was half rock star, half college. So I still had wow. to like go back to school. And some people knew me from kind of being like little bit famous, going back to the same college. They're like, hey, was you on road with Limp Bizkit? Was you on this day? I'm like, yeah, but I gotta finish my school. They're like, oh shit, that's crazy. Don't you have a show this Friday? I'm like, yeah, I do. So I still was playing shows and doing stuff like that, man, but going
that
to school.
That is dope, bro. That is so dope, man. And I'm not gonna let you skip over the detail. I need to hear some stories, man. Tell me about that lifestyle. Tell me just about the time touring with these celebrities and being in that limelight. Like, tell me a little bit about that so our audience know. Like, what's it like to be a DJ at, you know, maybe even your prime, if you want to call it your prime, or I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't know what I want to call that. That was amazing, man. It was just, it was a little surreal at the time because literally everything was getting paid for. You know what I'm saying? We was on tour, like, literally, like, we had a tour bus. It was a weird tour at the time. I know you know about Napster. It was a Napster tour. So it was controversial. We was on there, like, who was on there was real big. I'll let it come back to me. A real big group was on there with us too. It was us, and I don't know if Spy Mob was on there, but it was a bunch of crazy little up and coming rock bands was on there, and it was just surreal, man. Like, I would be in Manhattan and going out to the club. I went to one of the clubs, and I was walking in there with Alchemist, Be Real, Sin Dog, Estevan Oreo, Mr. Cartoon, and a bunch of other people. And then we get in there, and Leonardo DiCaprio walks in with Puff Daddy. And I'm like, I'm only 20. They barely let me in the club. They was letting people in that club that had tuxedos on. I just had my tour pass, a t-shirt, some skate shoes, and my jeans. And I'm in Manhattan. I didn't ever know. You know, I'm like out there. I saw like the DOC and Hitman at Times Square, and there was like, they were on the Dr. Dre tour, like Up in Smoke tour with Eminem, and I was like, I'm on the road, going interacting with these people, and like a year ago, I'm literally practicing trying to make the beats line up with 2 day records. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. That was a crazy experience right there.
It's crazy how you went from just starting something, and then in quick. Less than 2 years, you got so much momentum and traction and really just started doing some amazing things in the DJ world, man. That is truthfully amazing, man. Like, How did you transition? And this is, I commend you for going back to school, because most people don't have that mindset where after they have any level of success that they want to go back to school. And you did that, man. Like, tell me, like, what was your mindset as a 20, 21 year old, whatever age you was back? Like, why did you decide to go back to school? What value did you see in school?
Well, I always had a value in school ever since, like, I went to an elementary school in Gardena, was called Gardena Valley Christian School. Okay, I had mostly like half white, half Asian, mostly Asian, like Korean, Japanese, and then Caucasian and a little bit Mexican, then a little bit of small percentage of Black people. So it's a private school. My dad and my mom wanted to start me off there. So when I went there, I learned so many different things about culture, education. I saw the Challenger go down there, you know what I mean? As far as a little kid. So it was like a lot of knowledge getting packed up. And then I went to a public school and I was so much smarter than the other kids going to this other school that they skipped me from the third grade to the fifth grade. I skipped the fourth grade because I was already too smart to be with the other kids. So I graduated like a year ahead of my class, like my other class. I was supposed to really graduate in 97, but I graduated in 96. So it was like, just kept catching up and stuff. But then I kind of slowed down my progression in that because I got into like skateboarding, into art, and into, like, I started getting into model cars. My mind was developing at a weird, like, I didn't know I was good into chemistry sets. I was into microscopic things, you know what I mean? I was into delirium. I'll go out, dig something in the yard, try to find something, a rock, go to the museum and be like, what is this? And they'd be like, oh, that's a quartz, that's a whatever. I'm like, okay, it's a mineral. And then I go back, and I had encyclopedias. It was back in the day. Nice. I asked for encyclopedias for Christmas, or maybe 86. Yeah. I asked for encyclopedias.
Wow.
So that always was instilled in me. So I always had like let me go back to school and figure out that, you know, what is the next step. So when I went to school, it wasn't to do music. I was playing basketball. I was very into music. I was DJing. But when I went there and I saw that they had the studio that was like, it was literally like one of the, they had plaques, a gold plaque in there. Someone had graduated from that program. They had worked on Michael Jackson Bad. So I already was like, somebody went to the school that worked on Michael Jackson Bad? Like, let me, you know, investigate. Talk to a couple of the engineer teachers there. I was like, yeah, we have a program. If you want to go change your major, you can go over there and change it. You can work over here. You can also work with public television at KOCE at the time. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I always had that in the back of my head. I went and changed my major. Then all that stuff happened. So when I'm on tour, I'm like getting in the studio situation and I'm like a sponge. I'm just sitting back watching all these like major engineers that worked on heavy metal records and stuff like that, that I actually know about, you know, some of those records. So I was like, oh man, this is cool. So I'm watching them do the reel to reel. I'm watching them digital edit it. So I'm soaking it all in. So I'm like, that's what I want to do too. I want to be an engineer and I want to produce my own stuff. I want to record my own stuff. I want to be able to like maneuver like that and make music. So I was like, the only way I gotta do it, I gotta go back to school. So when I came back after tour, instead of just like rehearsing and partying, doing whatever, I was like, well, I could do that too, but let me go back to school. So I ended up going back to school. And what do you know? That was like the best grades I've gotten in my life. After I had got the life experience in music and being in the studio and then going back to school for work, I got straight A's. That was the only time I got straight A's in my life. I graduated high school as an honor roll student, like a 3.5, but I had got straight A's. I was doing like pre-calculus and stuff like that, and calculus and trigonometry in the music program, trying to figure out formulas for just to get signals out. And I'm like, right. You know, I could never even comprehend that in high school and without learning, you know, different stuff. And it sped me up because I didn't know how to read music. So I had to learn how to read music while I was learning how to record music, to make music as simultaneously. So when I told one of the teachers that was the music teacher, his name is Tom Cubis. He actually worked with Quincy Jones and he played on Strawberry 22. I think Strawberry 22 is an old track. It's an old funk track. He played on tour with them, played the keyboard and stuff. And he's like, man, I'll teach you how to make music. Cause I know you hip hop, you got the beats down. He's like, but I'll teach you how to write music and stuff like that. I teach you how to get the tones and stuff like that. So he worked with me with another teacher also named Evan Williams. He worked with me too. And he's like, yo, he was more like a hippie kind of soul. So he was like, man, I see what you're doing. I see what you're trying to do. So he's like, anytime you need me, you can stay in the lab extra longer, whatever. So I was, if the lab hours was 4 hours a week, I was in there 12 hours.
Right. You know what I mean? That's amazing, man. And let's talk about kind of the present and bring it up to speed. Right now we're in 2021 and we're in COVID. And how has COVID affected your DJ career?
Oh man, it's affected it majorly because I had got a regular at a sushi restaurant in Newport Beach, and it's a really good gig. So I was doing it every Friday, Saturday. That was all I was doing and making music on the side. So that it interrupted it, but at the same time, it kind of catapulted my other side, my music side. So like I got a song on iTunes right now, Another Day in Cali. Hell nah. I got it all over streaming on SoundClouds and stuff. It got like 45,000 right now. And then, so it's going up and climbing. And then, you know, I'm just starting to get more development with my music business side. So I got my LLC down, my hellnahproductions.com. You know what I mean? I'm all official now. I'm just all moving forward as a brand. I got my C plus art student. This is the championship shirt right now. I got a Lakers shirt. You know, so we just moving forward as a brand more. I got the paintings in the background, you know what I'm saying? Those is custom. We just,
wow.
It's just elevating as an art, as all the elements of hip hop that I always kind of been always doing, and graffiti, DJing, breakdancing, you know, artwork and business and all that stuff. And just taking it all together, like from the new generations to the old generations. I learned off everything and just soak everything in. I learned a lot of game for the new kids. That's why, like even all the LLC, I learned probably all that stuff from 20-year-olds. You know what I mean? That's all that stuff, all that game they give me. That's like, you know, the older heads that had a different game, but this game is faster, it's moving, it's lit, you know, it's dope, dope. So I'm happy to be in a position. COVID has just taught me to just be more serious about my business.
Word. That's amazing, man. Now, it forces you to innovate. It forces you to how do you, you know, problem solve your way out of the situation. You know, most clubs and venues are shut down, so you can't really go in person to these events, and it could be dangerous to even venture out to these in-person events. So like, what have you been doing differently since COVID hit? You've been focusing more on the recorded side. Have you been doing any gigs? Have you been actually DJing events either virtually or in person?
No, I'm going to get on the club, but I'm trying to get everything set up visually wise, because I know the visual is going to be, so I'm going to get the green screen and everything. So it's going to be really, really dope when I do on the club platform. But I kind of paused the DJ for the visual thing, but I didn't pause it for the SoundClouds and stuff. So I'm still sending out secret mixes. I'm making the mixes all the time. I just recently did a Jersey Club Be More mix. That's like a, you know, what they do in Jersey, what they do in Baltimore. Like I always try to focus on all over the world, what we do as Black people musically, and put it together as a mix, whether it's African, whether it's reggaeton, whether it's trap, whether it's hip hop, whether it's house, whether it's Be More, whether it's whatever it is, whether it's techno, I try to incorporate it all. So then people don't, you know, they're like, what the heck? So I used to just be labeled as like a hip hop DJ. Now people don't even know. They're just like, yeah, that's just hell no. He just do his thing. You know what I'm saying? He play music. You gonna rock out, you gonna party. You know, I'm gonna play funk. I'm gonna play anything that come to my head. But if I'm focused on a certain thing, like I'm doing series this whole year, I'm gonna send out secret mixes. They're going to be to like, I'm sending them out texts. I might send them out DMs. But if you go to my SoundCloud, you're not going to be able to see them. But you'll be able to get them. And I'm also going to put those mixes on the club.
Awesome, so, awesome, brother. We'd love to have you, man. And yeah. In regards to the industry, like, what do you think is going to happen within the next year or so? Like, do you think COVID's, one, going to continually affect, you know, the parties and stuff like that? Or do you think it's going to go away completely and people can go back to normal? Like, what do you predict is going to happen with the DJ industry given this pandemic?
I think that the whole world in the general is going to, I heard like a little psychological studies of other plagues and different things that happen. And it takes about 3 years. And even when you go through something traumatic in your life, it takes about 3 years to everything to kind of go back to not normal, but a new normal that what you're going to be living, you know what I mean? So it's your depression going to go all the way down, then you start to go to climb back up, and it take about 3 years for that, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 years. So with that being said, I would say it about at least about 3 years, maybe 2.5 years, because people are going to push it because of the entertainment. Some people are going, you know, I want to do a party over here, because even like when the people just came back from the COVID, I had a family in Newport Beach was like, I'm having a birthday party, we want you there. So they had me, you know, I was way in the corner, and the kids was over here in the corner doing their thing over there, and I'm like, you know, just rocking out and stuff, and I got paid extra and a tip, because you get the, it's almost like you get a hazard pay now. So that's another thing people probably don't, you know, if you go to DJ something, that people going to be like, oh man, they really putting their life in danger to come out to play my little, if they risk being my little party, so they're going to give you extra tip, they're going to you know, kick you down. So you can, you know, make some money, but just got to be safe about it. And the party I did, I think it was maybe 10 kids. And then the parents are all in the house and the kids are all in the pool and everyone was really spread out. So it was, the way they did it, had the house all open. They did it right, had sanitizer and everything everywhere, different stations and stuff around me, their backyard. So it's a certain way you can do it moving forward, you know, but that's what's going to have to be implemented.
So what's your advice to DJ to navigate in the next couple of years as we're, you know, still figuring out this pandemic?
I would just say to the small venue parties things, you know, private, they still going to want you live stream, make the private mixes for people that want to work out, stuff like that. You can send out, I did a couple of those, you know what I mean? Like someone was like, I need a workout mix. So I made a lady like, couple workout mixes, and you know, you could charge your price or your price point for that, $1,500 out if you want to do it for your time. You can make little money like that, make your own private streams for people like that, you know, so they can have their own music if that's what they want moving forward. And just pretty much I would say the private outdoor thing, you know, maybe even like if you're on top of somewhere and they're down there in the parking lot or something like that, you know, if you could do something like that and get the state to get down with that moving forward when everything gets back together. I seen the one DJ get real innovative too at the end of the COVID wrap up. He put the equipment in the back of his truck. He had his truck and it was raised up, put the equipment in the back of his truck. He had LED lights and stuff going over there, and he pulled up to a restaurant that had the outdoor venue. And I think he just went to the manager, talked to them about, and he pulled up right next to the curb so they could hear. He rocked out, shouted out his Instagram, shouted out his website and stuff like that, you know. And then he was rocking. He rocked it for a couple of weeks. And you can keep it at a nice noise level, you know, get your noise, your decibel level out and measure that so you don't get any kind of fines, you know, the police come out, if they do come out, you know, just let them know what you're trying to do and, you know, move forward.
Right, man. All right, cool. And we're going to jump right into the lightning round. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So describe your setup, hardware and software.
All right. My setup is right now I got the Pioneer DDJ one. I got a white one. And I'm using Serato Pro. And I also have a Vestax 07 and a Technique 1200 connected to it on the side. And then I, for the live setup, I use a QSC 10s, power 10s, 12s. And then if I need bass bottom, I'll pull out the bass bottom and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm Logic and also Ableton.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
I would say Qbert. Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind. Qbert, there's so many that comes to mind, but because I would have to play Qbert and I'd have to put J-Rock from the Beat Junkies as one, like a hybrid.
What has been your favorite party or event that you DJed at?
Oh man, my favorite party event DJ at. Wow, that's so many. I think for me, the one that stands out was we played at the Red Rock in Colorado. And it was in front of like 4,000 or 5,000 people. We had to paint our face. We paint our face like baseball furies from the Warriors. We had our own jerseys and stuff like that. And it was like a Tony Hawk Rock and Air thing. And I went on there and I, you know, they let me DJ a little bit in between, but then I DJed with the band when I got off the stage, I got mobbed by a bunch of kids. So they were like, oh my God, you're the DJ up there. But I had face paint on. So when I took my face paint off, I thought that they would recognize me. But I went out there and they totally recognized me because they were like, oh man, what's going on? And the venue security had to come and tell me, he's like, hey, you got to go back, man. I'm like, oh, I can't be wild here like this. He's like, nah, man, you got to go back. So, I mean, I never had no experience like that since. So I was like, oh, man, wow. It was like, you were scratching. They were yelling at me and stuff. And I was like, okay, they get it. They got it that time. So that was a good feeling.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Just the sound sometimes, the quality, and getting thrown off, of course, you know, by licenses and whatnot. You know, if you're in the middle of your mix, sometimes you might be jamming, and if you're in certain things, you look up and you're like, oh, my mix is off. So other than that, just to me, it's kind of cool because you could be where you're at, you know, and they could be where they are and they could check you out. And if they have a good audio setup, as long as you have your connection good, then it should come out good. I'm always just concentrated on sound and visuals, you know what I mean? That's my only thing. But I like how, I think D-Nice is probably the best version of what you kind of supposed to be doing right now, and a couple of the electronic DJs. You know, I've seen some people literally set up drones, have, you know, and outdoor settings and stuff like that. So they make it look, you know, like an event. You can make it come off looking like an event, then it's dope. It's dope.
Shout out DJs that you know personally whose story need to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, yo, shout out DJ Counter-Strike. Shout out AC, the program director. Shout out J-Rock. Shout out all the B-Junkies. Shout out DJ Jedi. Shout out just all the LA DJs. Stan, his DJ name. He's down with Al Jackson, a lot of people like that. And he just passed, rest in peace. Just shout out everyone come to mind right now. But man, it's just shout out all the DJs right now. They're still doing their thing. You know what I mean? Everybody just doing their thing, period. Just keep going. You know, even if you just started DJing and you know that you're like, man, I don't sound good right now. You're going to sound good one day, believe me.
Awesome, man. Where can people find you online and in person if you're still doing events?
In person, when we come back, they can find me at Sushi Roku in Newport Beach at 327 Newport Center Drive in Fashion Island. I'll be there Fridays and Saturdays from 7 to 11, you know, when it comes back. And then online, you can find me at hellnawproductions.com. Or you can go to both of my SoundClouds, DJ Hellnaw, or you can go to Hellnaw. You go to YouTube, DJ Hellnaw. You know, you gotta go to Instagram at Hellnaw the Face. And I'm pretty much gonna be putting up streams, you know, every week, every 2 weeks, different content. And if you wanna be down, just DM me or go to my Instagram and then copy the paste. Or go straight to my website. That's another way to get my secret mixes. Go to hellnawproductions.com, get all the merch and be down there.
Awesome, man. Y'all heard him, DJ Hellnaw. Thank you for being on the My DJ Story podcast, man. Yeah.
Good looking, Daryl. I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
All right, you too.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.